What's up and welcome to Crossover Wednesdays here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm James Yarko, one of the hosts of Locked On Bucks, joined by Bill Rossetti, the host of Locked On Panthers. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing well, my man. How you doing? Good to be back with you after a couple of weeks off, or a couple of weeks separated, I guess. Not too long here.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially twice in a month for us. And yeah. I'm doing well. Still have that holiday hangover and then preparing for Christmas bankruptcy. So that's always that's always a blast. But yeah, it's interesting since the last time we spoke, you know, the Panthers were, I mean, they were flying high, they were hot. They beat the Buccaneers 42-28. And since then, they haven't won. They're 0-3 since since the last time we talked. So yeah. Bill, what's been going on with the Panthers?
You know, it's been a couple of things. You know, we saw a couple days after that Buccaneers game, they got schlacked by the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game that, you know, we thought was going to be a shootout, and then the game started off so well, and then things just really got away from the Panthers. And as we saw, that game was ugly pretty quickly. And then you got to the Detroit game, which was just a lot of missed opportunities. The one play, really, that's the main key, I think, especially in the last 2 weeks against the Lions and the Seahawks, was a lot of missed opportunities. The one that sticks out to me against the Lions was the 80-plus yard catch and run by DJ Moore, and the Panthers came away with 0 points at the end of that drive because they missed the field goal. And then, of course, against the Seahawks, kind of the same thing. Numerous trips, actually 7 trips to the red zone, and you know they did score touchdowns on 3 of those drives. But when you think about it, and when you look at everything that happened, that's a small number. It's not good enough, especially considering they had an interception in the red zone, a turnover on downs on the red zone. So really, it's just a lot of the Panthers kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And I don't know if there's that urgency right now that they seem to have had in the first half of the season. And if that doesn't kick on soon enough in what's looking like a pretty tough schedule, I mean, this schedule is a lot tougher than it would have been if you'd talked to me, say, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. If they don't get that urgency back quickly, they're going to miss the playoffs, which would be really surprising considering they started 6-2.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a Panthers team that still has 4 divisional matchups remaining here down the stretch, including this weekend with Tampa. They still have to play the Saints twice. Somehow they've avoided playing the absolute juggernaut that is the New Orleans Saints. Still have Atlanta again. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a tough road for Carolina to put themselves back in playoff contention and kind of get back to controlling their own destiny. So it's, you know, I know Buccaneers fans have enjoyed it because as I said off air, you know, misery loves company and Bucs fans have been pretty miserable. But you take a look now at the way the Buccaneers have played since Jameis has come back again. I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, he's played 6 quarters in the last 2 weeks. In those 6 quarters, he has 4 touchdowns. He turned the ball over 1 time, which was at the end of a game on a Hail Mary. I don't really even put that one on him. You know, over 500 yards passing. He had 4 consecutive drives to, you know, to get into the end zone against the New York Giants, comes out, you know, pretty much picks apart a San Francisco team. So Jameis Winston is looking pretty good, and he's now sporting a visor, which I'm starting to wonder, you know, I know a lot of people remember his Florida State days, you know, Jameis out there squinting and all that. You almost kind of wonder, is that visor a prescription visor? Is he able to see a little bit better? But you take a look at his history against the Panthers, he's 2-4. 5 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in his 6 career games against Carolina. That's one of only 3 teams that Jameis has faced more than once where he has more interceptions than touchdowns. For whatever reason, also he has 6 fumbles against the Panthers. So you're looking at 15 turnovers in 6 games against the Carolina Panthers. For whatever reason, he can't get this Panthers team figured out, but you start to wonder, maybe he's getting it together a little bit. He's looked incredibly efficient the last 4 quarters that he's played, the last game and a half in which they're 1-1. So yeah, I don't want to say that I'm confident that the Buccaneers are going to win, but I think being at home helps. I think facing a Panthers team that is struggling is going to help. And if Jameis can continue to play as efficiently and as intelligently as he has appeared to play over the last game and a half, I think they really have a shot here.
And I agree. You're right. They seem to have picked things up over the last couple of weeks. They have been pretty good at home, whereas the Panthers have really struggled away from home. They've only won 1 road game all season. That was way back in week 7 against the Eagles, and that was at the time when the Eagles kind of started their little slump, I guess. I mean, we know they've been kind of a roller coaster team all season, but that was that big comeback in the 4th quarter where they scored 3 touchdowns. But other than that, they have not fared well on the road at all. So yeah, it goes back to like what I said earlier. This is one of those games now that if you had talked to me a couple of weeks ago, I said this was a pretty easy win, no doubt. This was almost a gimme. Not so much anymore. The Panthers need to come ready to play against an offense that can pick the Panthers apart. We've seen now some of these offenses have their way with this Panthers defense, as dominant as they look on paper. So, yeah, I mean, if they're not careful, you know, you mentioned the numbers, but really, I think you're at a point right now where those numbers kind of don't really matter too much. I think this is almost like a clean slate for Jameis Winston, if you will. So this is going to be a really intriguing game, I think, to see how Carolina can now kind of handle the adversity of having that 3-game losing streak and having all these difficulties that they've had on the road. Can they put a stop to that in what has really become almost a must-win game, as they're now on the outside looking in the wild card picture? We kind of talked about their playoff hopes. The division hopes are gone because, like you said, the Saints are a juggernaut. They basically have that division now on lock. So it's wild card or bust. And like we said off air, Carolina right now is on the short end of the stick in terms of that 3-way tie with Washington and Seattle. So, you know, they really got to step it up here. Like I said earlier, they really got to start showing that urgency here with 5 weeks to go.
Yeah, and I think if I'm a Panthers fan, I'm far more concerned with Seattle than I am with Washington. With Colt McCoy,
I agree,
running the Redskins, it's only a matter of time before they've eliminated themselves. So it's the Seahawks you have to keep an eye on, and they don't have nearly as difficult of a schedule as Carolina does. I mean, they still have the San Francisco 49ers twice. So
in the next 3 weeks, yep. And then that's something I talked about on my podcast too. I feel like Seattle right now is probably the favorite, you know, with San Francisco twice and a home game against Arizona week 17. So those are 3 winnable games right there. So they win those, that gets you to 9 wins, meaning Carolina probably has to at least get to 10. And I don't know if I see 4 wins on this schedule, because I don't know if they're – because that would mean they'd have to beat the Saints at least once, and I don't know if they're going to do that. So, yeah, I think they're in trouble here. And, you know, obviously the Buccaneers would love nothing more than to really continue that – or really continue putting the Panthers in that downward spiral. This wouldn't be the final nail in the coffin, but – or I'll use a term I used – on one of the other pods. I don't think the fat lady is, you know, they say it's not over till the fat lady sings. Well, she's not singing yet, but she's in the dressing room warming up, and she's almost got 1 foot out the door ready to take center stage.
All right. Well, Bill, before we move on, we need to talk about those good old days back when, you know, we were young and we were always quote unquote ready to go. Well, guys, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew, that's blue like the color blue, BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Bill, what are you expecting to see out of a Buccaneers team that now has Jameis Winston back again, as I kind of touched on earlier? And they've been missing Lavonte David for the past 2 weeks. Quan Alexander is out for the season. Justin Evans has missed the past couple weeks. They have, you know, a laundry list of injury problems on the defensive side of the ball. DeSean Jackson is unhappy and disgruntled. What are you expecting to see? Are you expecting to see kind of what we saw against the 49ers, or is that more of the Buccaneers just basically beating a team that they should have beaten? How do you see them taking the field at Raymond James?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you are talking about a 49ers team that is in play right now for the number one pick in the draft. So in the one sense, you're right. It is a team that they probably should have beat. But, you know, you also like seeing them beat teams like that the way they did, because it's almost like what you're expected to do. What I expect to happen is I would think Mike Evans is going to wake up, at least in terms of facing the Panthers, because, you know, in the back of his mind, he's got to be thinking about how shut down he was in the first meeting by James Bradbury. I mean, he only had one catch, and that didn't come until the third quarter. So, you know, he's going to want to break out somehow. So if I'm the Panthers, I'm keeping every eye I possibly can on number 13. And like you said, you know, there's really not a whole lot else going on offense. I mean, the running game still really hasn't picked up a whole lot since we last talked. I know Peyton Barber rushed for a touchdown last week against the 49ers, but he still only had about, 47 yards on 18 carries. So that's not even 3 yards per carry. So the running game looks like it's still an issue in Tampa Bay. So, you know, Mike Evans has to be the guy. He can't have another one catch game if the Buccaneers are going to win this game. And obviously, you can't let yourself get in the 35-7 hole like they did the first time around either. They've got to find a way to score quickly and keep this game a lot closer and not have to rely on mounting a big comeback like they almost did in the first meeting. So there's a couple things they got to fix, but to me, it comes down to Mike Evans. If he breaks out of the slump that he was kind of in, you know, however you want to say it, or for lack of better words, if he's able to step up and even just slightly improve, even just a couple more catches is a big improvement from the first game. So I would imagine Jameis is going to really rely heavily on him. And I expect the tight ends to get involved as well. I think we've continued to see that the tight ends have had a little bit of success against this Panthers defense over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, OJ Howard was pretty darn good the first time around, and Cameron Brate has had his fair share throughout the season. So it really comes down, I think, to those three. I think if they can get those three involved pretty heavily, I think the Panthers might have a little bit of a difficult time stopping those guys. And it should be a lot closer. This offense should be a lot better than they were the first time.
Yeah, of course, in that first meeting, it was the Adam Humphrey show.
Him too, absolutely.
Yeah, and of course, we know Jameis likes to rely on that tight end position. He and Cam Braid have a great chemistry and a great rapport, which helps with the fact that, you know, OJ Howard is done for the year with that ankle sprain or the MCL sprain, whatever they officially diagnosed it as. But you see Jameis utilizing as many weapons as he can. He likes to dump it off to Barber and Jaquizz Rodgers out of the backfield. He, of course, will always look for Mike Evans, but Humphreys is getting more involved. Chris Godwin is getting more involved. Cameron Braid is getting more involved. The only guy that's really not involved is DeSean Jackson. For whatever reason, those two continue to not be able to connect. You know, I have my theories on it. But if Jameis can spread the ball around, you know, I do think it comes down a lot to Mike Evans and his ability to, you know, outperform his earlier performance against the Panthers, which he should be able to do essentially on one reception. If it's like that 44-yard reception he had against San Francisco, you know, that connection is sound, it's square, but it'll be the decision-making that Jameis has to do, getting the ball to the other guys, getting it to Godwin, getting it to Humphreys and Braid and Anthony Auclair and whoever else he wants to use. And then, as you said, getting that running game going. 2 weeks ago, Peyton Barber was averaging more yards per carry than Saquon Barkley did. He had over 100 yards on the game. He looked good. He was just dominating, running up the middle. Then in a game where he should have dominated again, he was doing well running up the middle again. Then they start running stretch plays. They start running tosses. He's getting hit for losses because this offensive line just, you know, this team, for whatever reason, can't block on these runs to the outside. Then we don't see Peyton Barber for, you know, a full quarter, and then he pops back up again. It's very confusing how they use him when he plays so well when he's in there, especially running up the middle behind Ali Marpet and Ryan Jensen. So, you know, we need to see, for the Buccaneers to have success, we need to see Peyton Barber be more consistently involved, getting those carries, and then, of course, the decision-making for Jameis as to when he's looking for these other targets. He's going to throw those passes to Mike Evans regardless. In fact, that's probably where he'll find himself in a little bit of trouble, forcing the issue, trying to get Mike the ball. But it'll be interesting to see if he continues this uptick that he's had these past couple quarters, and if the decision making and the mistake free football can continue.
And I mean, just real quick, I understand, like, Mike Evans wasn't, it's not like Mike Evans wasn't, they didn't try to go after him. He had what, like 10 targets, I think, that first game.
Yeah, it was ridiculously high for the amount of production that he ended up with.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, credit James Bradberry, but you know, can Bradberry do it again is the question. That's really the big question for me, is can Bradberry make it two straight weeks or two straight games against Mike Evans completely shutting him down? I'm cautiously optimistic, we'll say, that, you know, it's actually going to happen.
Well, you know, Bill, when I take a look at the Carolina Panthers, of course, there's one name and one name alone that really pops into my head and should strike fear into the hearts of Buccaneers fans everywhere. And that's Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this guy just does it all. There's no part of the Carolina Panthers offense that he isn't or shouldn't be a part of. He's a phenomenal running back. He's the Panthers' leading receiver. Yeah, he's an incredible mismatch for virtually any defense out there. And when you take a look at a Buccaneers defense that are without Quan Alexander, they've been without Lavonte David. They're relying on a linebacking core of Devontae Bond, Riley Bulla, and Adarius Taylor. That's not exactly a positive thing for Buccaneers fans to look at. So it could be another very heavy Christian McCaffrey game. And I think that's the key guy. They have to find a way to shut down Christian McCaffrey, or he is going to run rampant through this defense, just like he did 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You take a look at the receivers. DJ Moore is still kind of coming into his own. Very up and down, but you see the potential. You see the upside. And you look forward to Panthers fans are obviously looking forward to seeing how he continues to develop. And then defensively, of course, Luke Kuechly is going to be Luke Kuechly. It's one of the best linebacking cores in football. You know, they're mm-hmm. able to get to the quarterback. Their secondary, as you've mentioned, is a little bit suspect, but they did a great job against, you know, Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson in the first meeting. So, I mean, what other kind of mismatches are you seeing that really makes you think that the Panthers should be a heavier favorite than, you know, the 3.5 points that they're giving right now on the Vegas line?
Well, and I'll go back to something we talked about the first time you and I got together, and that was kind of the, you know, other than Jason Pierre-Paul, but kind of the lack of pass rush that the Buccaneers have had. And the Panthers have done a better job over the last couple of weeks of protecting Cam Newton. You know, they had a rough outing against Pittsburgh. I think Cam was sacked like 5 times against the Steelers, but they held their own against the Lions. They held their own against the Seahawks. And you mentioned Christian McCaffrey, and my first thought was his performance is what made last week's loss that much more upsetting, because it was basically a wasted day, or they basically wasted a tremendous effort from McCaffrey. I mean, he actually a record day, really, because he was actually the first Panther to ever have 100 receiving yards and 100 rushing yards in the same game. And the Panthers lost by 3 points. So you're right. This offense still runs through him, but DJ Moore, I just continue to be fascinated by him. And I mean, we saw him in college. If you watched him in college, you already will have known, or already would have known, what kind of talent he is. It was just taking him a little bit of time to, you know, learn the NFL game and get himself kind of more involved in the offense. And you know, Devin Funchess is still a little banged up, so we saw DJ Moore continue to get more looks. And even if Funchess comes back, I fully expect DJ Moore to continue to be greatly involved in this offense. But like I said, the offensive line I thought did better the last couple of weeks, so it's going to be about keeping Jason Pierre-Paul at bay, continuing to keep Cam Newton upright. And I mean, Cam Newton, you know, he only had a couple rushing attempts against the Lions. He got more into the swing of it against the Seahawks, but he's just got to get a little bit more consistent. You know, he's got to cut down on some of the mistakes, because he threw a couple of killer, you know, one being a missed pat, you know, in regards to the missed 2-point conversion against the Lions. Had Jarius Wright wide open in the end zone and missed him. And then you talk about the interception in the red zone last week against the Seahawks. So he's just got to cut down on some of his mistakes. Other than that, I think there's, you know, you still have the talent. It's just got to be a matter of just better execution, because I think there's been numerous times where the execution just hasn't been there. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's just a lot of missed opportunities. They got to stop these, you know, settling for field goals when they get into the red zone. You got to be able to punch it in on almost every opportunity you can. and I mentioned the Buccaneers can't get into as big of a hole as they did. The Panthers, if they can get out of the gate quick and get that big lead like they did the first time around, I think they'll be fine, because they continue to start slow and kind of have to dig themselves out of the ground a little bit, as it were. So, you know, the early part of this game is going to be so critical to, you know, the chances of Carolina winning this game, I think.
All right. Well, Bill, before we get out of here, let's do our final score predictions. How do you see this one finishing up?
Boy, I'm torn, honestly. You know, you look at these teams on paper, you just feel like the Panthers just have – they should be the more talented team, and, you know, they should be the favorite, but – it is a road division game, which we know is always tough. The Panthers are 1-4 against the road, and they are on a 3-game losing streak. And I could see, you know, there was a lot of points scored the first time around. I think you're probably going to end up the same way here, because Carolina is going to move the ball on offense. I feel pretty good about that, because Tampa's defense has just continued to struggle. But Tampa looks like they're getting a little bit of swagger back to them on offense. And I'll be honest, and I tried this last week being kind of the kiss of death. It didn't work. I'm going to try it again this week. But I smell a little bit of an upset here. I'm going to say Tampa Bay 35, Carolina 31. I'm going to say the road woes continue for Carolina, and they slip a little bit further back in the playoff race, and the panic meter just rises a little bit more.
Okay. I take a look at this, and I look at a Bucs defense that is allowing nearly 17 points fewer at home per game than they are on the road. The recent struggles of the Panthers on the road, the recent struggles of the Panthers in general. I look at a defensive line that is starting to put together some pressure. Vita Vea really took off this past week against San Francisco, 3 tackles for loss, a sack. You had Jason Pierre-Paul become the first Buccaneer since 2005 to get double-digit sacks. Carl Nassib has been just an absolute wrecking ball. And I start to think, you know what? Shades of last week, not for the Bucs, but for the Panthers. And I will take the Buccaneers to win 30-27 on a last-second field goal off the leg of Cairo Santos.
It'd be like deja vu all over again. Instead of the old veteran, it'd be the young gun, the kicker.
Yeah, well, and Cairo Santos is rapidly becoming every Buccaneers fan's favorite player, because since joining the Bucs, he is perfect, knock on wood, for you Bucs fans listening. You know, for a team that has suffered so many kicking woes, it's nice to see someone be able to come out there and you're not having a minor panic attack as soon as the ball is snapped, because you don't know if it's going to go in or not. So, all right. Well, Bill, thanks so much for some of your time. Really appreciate Absolutely. You recording with me tonight. I've enjoyed it. Of course, everyone can check out everything that Bill is doing with the Panthers Wire and over at Locked On Panthers. Follow him on Twitter at Bill_Rossetti. You can check out everything that I'm doing over at BucsNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks and at JYarko_Bucks. Bill, buddy, enjoy the game this weekend. It was a lot of fun talking to you yet again.
It was, James. Glad we were able to do this again. It's always fun. Like I said, I always enjoy these crossover games, especially the division ones. We get a chance to talk for a second time. So it was great talking to you again, man.
Yep, you too. And for all of you listening, we really appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed it. And thank you so much for joining us right here on Crossover Wednesdays.